I'm thinking tonight about what is our priorities. I remember back when I worked for a surveying company, every once in a while the boss would come and tell us that there was a priority, that we needed to get a certain job done. He'd put more importance, make it more important. We need to focus in on this because this is important. And thinking about that in our lives, what do we make important? I think that people fall into a trap sometimes with the things that they think's important, and they put it ahead of everything else, and it's not really the most important. And the most important thing, of course, tonight is my soul. As I get older, I realize more and more the importance of my soul, because things change around me. Things that I thought used to be important, well, they're not important anymore. I've always been active in my youth, and I always like to run. Most of my life, I either would run just for the fun of running, or I'd be running towards something or from something, but I love to run. And folks, I don't run anymore. Even trying, I don't run anymore because I can't run anymore. And a lot of the things that I have put importance to, it's no longer important because I can't do it. And I, on a regular basis, see myself in the casket. It's coming, and I know it, and I see those that's ahead of me go. And when I do, many times I'll look at that and say, unless the Lord comes back and just takes me that way, it won't be too awful long that I'm going to have to be there. And there's a lot of people here that might even get there before I do. And so to put importance on the things around us would be foolish to do. There isn't really that much importance in it. And, you know, I've known people that would get so hung up over things that don't mean anything. To think of it in an eternal way, it don't really make much difference. It really don't make much difference what happens around me in this world, to think that I'm not going to be here all that long for the things that go on. People will get into fight sometimes over, especially mom and dad dies and leaves a little bit of a heritage sometimes. And the children just go to pieces over that. Squabble and fight over what mom left and what dad had. I've seen it personally many times, to where families would break completely up over a few little trinkets, an item or two, that really don't make any difference. You can't take them with you. So how important really is? I want to think tonight a little bit about it. Lord bless us, the priorities. Over in Genesis, in the 4th chapter, it starts this way. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance was fallen. Well, what did he expect? I think Cain's priorities was wrong and messed up. Abel's wasn't. Abel realized what God was. He realized what the idea of God. Is God worthy of our praise? Is God worthy of worship? Is God creator of the universe? Is he creator of our world? Is he a giver? Daniel told the king that your very breath is in his hand. Does he have our breath tonight? Is God brother Dan already mentioned that he holds the key to reign. Does God hold the keys of the reign? Can he withhold it from us? Can he change the weather patterns of this country. He's God, isn't he? And to recognize that and to put a priority on it. God's God. And I'm just a human. And God is worthy to be praised and honored and worshiped. And how am I going to do it? The way Cain done it? I'll go scratch up a few things and throw them together and take them to the Lord and it'll have to be good enough for him. Is that the mindset? Or is there a priority on my life with God? Because He is God. How can I take to Him a mediocre life and feel good about it? How can I give Him a mediocre service? I'll just give Him whatever's left over. I'm going to do my thing and I'll fish when it's time to fish. And I'll plant when it's time to plant. And I'll work when I'm supposed to go to work. And if there's anything left over at the end of my duties and at the end of my pleasures, then I'll give God a little bit of handful of it. That's the wrong priority to have on a God that's created everything. That holds our future in His hand. He can say yea or nay to the time of our coming and going because He's God. Cain had no respect or honor to God as God. He saw a duty and he done it. I'm going to get something. I'll get me a handful of things and I'll give God the leftovers of the thing. Do you know if we ain't careful, that's what we end up doing too? Well, I make no commitments. I'll make no allegiances or I'll make no sacrifices. I'm not going to commit to anything to the Lord. I'm not going to be faithful for services. I'm not going to be faithful to the duties of God. I'll give God what's at the end of the whole thing. And I'll expect God to put His favor on it when it's all done. Folks, that's a poor way of dealing with a holy God. This scripture says that there's two sons of Adam. And if you look at the writing of it, and I think this is accurate, of those that say that they were twins, because it said he knew his wife and she conceived and bare a son and then she bare another. And it didn't go back through the process. And it says it in the way that they was twins. And most scholars think that that's the way that's written, that they was twins. Twin boys. With all that could have been there. Cain loses it all, makes a mess of it all. Why? Because he didn't prioritize. He didn't put the things that's most important in his life first. Abel did. It says that Abel brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto that. He brought of the first and of the best. He didn't go and get something and say, well, I'm going to get the crippled because it's going to die anyway. But he went and he took the very best that he had and gave it to the Lord. Folks, we'll do well in our life if we'll give God the best of our life. I've always said I got saved when I was 23. I always heard that a man's strength is about 25 years old. And I've always been glad that I was serving the Lord in the middle of my strength. Not that you can serve Him at any time, but I've always glad that I gave those years my best. I would have always wondered if I hadn't have. And I did, and I'm glad that I did. And I can say that I gave the Lord the best years that I had, my strongest years. When I was physically at my peak and at my best, I gave it to the Lord. And I'm glad I did because I found it the best thing that you can do in life, to give it to the Lord. And I'm glad that I gave that to the Lord. And He desires of us our first. Our best. But listen, folks, it isn't throwing it away. We've got to understand that it isn't throwing it away. Abel's offering wasn't thrown away. God's the one that gives the increase of life. God's the one that can bless in life. It isn't a bad sacrifice to give to the Lord. It's a good sacrifice to give to the Lord. You can't outgive God. Lord, help us with our priorities. It is needful that we devote ourselves to the service of God. Yes. It's better for us. I know it isn't always possible. But as much as it's possible, we ought to go to our local services. We really should, because Jesus said that forsake not the assembling of yourself to come and prioritize my life that way. I'm putting God first in my life. He's first in everything that I do. I consider Him first. That doesn't always mean service. That means God's always first. I have a family. I have a family to consider. That's God's gift to me. I've got to prioritize that in God. Make sure that I'm doing what I should in God. I remember one time I was going home and a man, I happened to know the plight of their life. And I knew that the wife was been saying that they needed prayer because their rent was about 3 months late and they didn't have money for groceries and a number of things. And I was coming home and the man stopped me and the husband did. He stopped me and I pulled over and he said, I've got to show you this. And all right. And I got out and he pulls out of a case a brand new 243 rifle. Boy, it was nice. Had a big scope on it. He pulls it out and said, man, look what I got. Well, it was nice as far as those kind of things go. If you're not 3 months behind on your rent and the children's hungry, that's real nice. And there ain't nothing wrong with those kind of things, folks. There ain't nothing wrong with a man doing that. I don't find no fault in it. But the priorities is awful. The priorities is awful. He didn't put the right things in the right place. If the man would have put God in the right place, he could have found an order that would have worked in his life. Him and his wife's been long time separated. The family's been long time busted up over it. And why? Because there wasn't priorities put into it. We need to put God first in our life and everything that we do. Make sure that we center that on God. Because God's what works. And of my life, I know God has the key to that. I know the time of my departure will be in the Lord's hand. I need God real bad. And I'm counting on Him. Prioritize. Over in the book of 2 Kings, there was a man in the Scriptures named Hezekiah. I believe Hezekiah was a good king for the most part. But he got in trouble when he didn't have the important things in the right place. In the 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, it says, the 13th verse, it says, "And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things." Now I want you to take note of Hezekiah's precious things. If you read up in this, you'll find out some ambassadors from Babylon come along. They had heard he was sick and they'd come along. A lot more to the story than that, but they come along. And he hearkened unto them and now he brings them in and shows them all of his precious things. Well, this is a list of what Hezekiah considered his precious things. And it says it that way. I want to make note of it. It doesn't say, "And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them the precious things of God." Didn't show them the precious things of God. He showed them his precious things. The silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. All of his precious things. What's your precious things? What's your precious things tonight? What do you put the value on? What are you willing to fight for? What are you willing to struggle for? Strive for? What's precious to you? If somebody was to come along from a foreign land and say, "I want to see what's precious to you," what would you show them that's precious to you? "Oh, I'm going to take you in. I'm going to show you what's precious to me. This is what I put my time into." And I wonder just what do we put our time into. I know what the world runs after. March Madness. I'm going to tell you, come on, I'll show you what's precious to me. Let's go to the game. I'll show you what's really valuable over here in this country. I'll take you and show you the game. That's what's precious. Oh, we get a lot of thrill off of it. It's real valuable. I'll take you and show you that. Take you to my library and let you read my collection of books that I think's valuable. This is my treasure. Or I'm going to take you, you want to see something special? I'm going to show you something special. Come and see my automobiles. Fine automobiles. You ever have somebody, I'm not belittling people that like that kind of stuff, but I never was. To me, a vehicle, and I appreciate quality, but to me, a vehicle is one that you get in and you start it up, and it'll get you to where you're going. And it don't matter if it shines to me, sparkles, or anything else, just as long as from point A to point B is accomplished. But I've had people, and I grew up with these guys that would fly their hood up when you come around. This thing's got a 350 this and this, and it's got this on it. And there was a guy, he talked about his, double hump, a hump, whatever it was. And all that, he put this on it and that on it, and these Krager wheels and glass pipe, pack pipes, and all these kind of things. And I still was sitting there thinking, all I want to do is go to town. I mean, that means nothing to me. But it's a treasure. It's a treasure to those that put the priority onto it as their treasure. And so here's Hezekiah, the king, and here he's got the greatest. He's got the greatest thing that has ever been on the earth. He's got the knowledge of God, the true God. There was gods all over Babylon. There was gods all over Egypt. There's gods all over the world. And Hezekiah was entrusted with the knowledge of the true God. And he had the true blessings upon him. And when they come, he said, come on in and I'll show you my precious things. What's your precious things, Hezekiah? I got some silver. Oh, you wait till you see the silver that I've got. And all these fine things that the artists have made, and made the bowls and made the things, and you wait till you see my storehouse, you're going to be impressed with this. And you look at my gold. You look at the things that I've had in my life. Do you know that the Lord absolutely was not pleased with Hezekiah? Because he put something priority in his life. And I'm going to tell you, the silver wouldn't buy his way out of trouble. And the gold wouldn't buy it out. When Sennacherib came, and with the great Assyrian army that had wiped off everybody that come into their path, gold don't buy it off. And silver didn't. And all of his precious things wouldn't buy it off. He needed God. This says that in the 14th verse, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Well, that's quite a pronouncement. That actually was a pronouncement made back, I think, over Manasseh. But he gave this time, and over in Chronicles it said that the Lord had left Hezekiah that he might prove him what was in all his heart. And what was in his heart? That was referring to this time that they would come. And what did Hezekiah show that was in his heart concerning God? It wasn't his treasure. He had allowed the things of this earth to take over the place of his heart. And when it come down to show somebody what that he thought was going to impress them and be important, he showed them his treasures, his precious things. Folks, we have some precious things. But it isn't silver and gold. It isn't the merchandise of this world. It isn't what the devil comes around selling. It's none of his wares. But we have the precious things. The gift of God in our heart. Salvation that works. A salvation that delivers a man's soul. A forgiveness that cleans up a man from the filth of his life. A deliverance from the habits of this world. I believe in it still to this day. I believe God's able to deliver a man from the smoking habit. From the tobacco habits. From cocaine habits, from drinking habits, from all kind of filthy and lust habits. I still believe in a God that's got some precious things for people. Can clean them up and give them integrity back. Give them honesty back. Give them a clean life back. Make them to be able to stand upright. Think right thoughts. Do good things. We got some precious things. We got the things that God has given us in a heritage of God. We have some good things. We have a people that we can worship together that's true. We got a people that we can trust in, count on. We got a God that we can pray to. How valuable is it to be able to pray, folks? You might hang to your gold, but I'm going to tell you, there'll be a day that gold won't buy you what you need. Years ago, I had the privilege of meeting a man. I was in University of Virginia Medical Center, and there was a man there, and all the nurses I had met, I knew them, and there was another man there, and they told me, Marty, you got to meet this guy. He's from West Virginia, and said he reminds us of you, and you've got to meet this. You guys have got to get together and talk. So I said, he sounds like a good guy. So we met each other. And we just clicked. Oh, me and him, we just talked and talked and talked. And he liked to fish and I liked to fish. And we talked and talked. And the only thing I got out of him other than a trivial thing and mentioned to him about the Lord was able to help him. And he said, I ain't worried about it. He said, I beat this cancer once before and I'll beat it again. That was his response. I beat it before and I'll beat it again. And he was a jovial, lighthearted man. And he fought cancer, seemed to do well for a while and came back and he's getting worse and worse. And finally went into the hospital one day and was walking down the hall and they was family members out and they was all weeping and crying and they was nurses with their face in their hands and they was weeping and crying. And I went up to one of the nurses and said, what's going on? Well, she told me they just had to tell him. There ain't nothing else they can do for him. Just got a few days at the most. And he was weeping and crying. I went and I really prayed, Lord, help me. Help me to be able to talk to this dear man. He's soon to go out into eternity. Help me to be able to talk to him. Because he would never talk about the Lord at all. Not cut it off. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I went back to him and went into his room. You know, I tried to talk to that man, and he would not. He laid there and looked up into the ceiling, and he would not acknowledge me. He would not talk. Folks, there comes a time that your greatest passions is not going to deliver you. There will come a time that no matter how much you like to fish, the thought of fishing is not going to comfort your eternal soul. There is people that put much into going to these big stadiums and they hoop and holler and they put all of their energy and effort into that game and they're out here, I guess it'd be OU or OSU or whatever it is. And I know that's the way people act and all that, and I ain't been real critical of it. I'm just telling you that there's going to be a time in your life that you can cry on that to deliver you, and it's not going to. There is no hope in it. It will let down the soul. It'll let it down in its deepest need. It'll let it down and won't come to the rescue. The priority's in the wrong place and it hadn't got the... Oh, it may have made many happy while they were here and in their health and in their youth. And they may have had a lot of excitement and a lot of fun and all of that. But it doesn't hold the key. And it can't bless the soul when it comes down to it. When it comes down to what is my eternal state? What is life all about? I'm about to meet my Maker and I'm not able to. I've got sin in my life. I've got guilt on my life. I've done things I know better. And all this comes flooding to you. And you're going to call on, well, if I could just go to one more game. If I can make one more cast out in the lake. Won't do it. It ain't going to deliver. Hezekiah, how foolish can a man be to set your heart on the silver and gold and spices and the treasury and all your armor and all those things. How foolish of a man that should have known better than that. To know there's a God in heaven and all of these things He gave to you anyway. And you put them ahead of God Himself. Your greatest treasure, Hezekiah, should have been telling them about God. And letting them know that there's a God in heaven that had done it all. And not you. Lord, help us today. We need God. We need God. I need Him every day. Every day of my life. I'm going to compare this story with another one in 1 Kings. The 10th chapter. In the first verse it says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord..." Heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Wasn't all about Solomon now. It's about the Lord. She came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels and that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord. Must have been magnificent, wasn't it? There was no more spirit in her. It so touched her that she about fainted. To see what God had done. What Solomon had done in the name of the Lord. Not in his own name. It wasn't just Solomon that had wisdom. God had given him wisdom. And they recognized that as God's wisdom. God had given this man wisdom to tell her all of her questions. Priority was on that ascent. Up to the house of God. To look and say, in my mind, for the queen of Sheba to look and say, what a man. In his wisdom. Where did he get it? What forces come on him? How does he do it? I'm assuming that would be the question that she would ask. And then to see this man with the wisdom that was on him to be able to answer all her questions. Then for Solomon not to go as he's God Himself. Isn't that the way men do? Give them a little fame and all of a sudden they can do anything. Got themselves up there. But I believe when Solomon made his ascent, it was with great respect and awe. She looked at him as something special, but when she saw where he gave the credit to, I believe Solomon in all of this he done was given the due credit to God in his ascension to the house of God. The building of it and all that they said, it suggested something. We're not making some trivial thing here. This was all in a type, if you understand it. It isn't about the house. God made the stone. God made all of those things. But when they made something to the house of God, they made it with all that they could do. With the best that they could get. With the best of the gold. The purest of gold. With the best artists. With the best builders. With the best. And they done it because they was giving their heart to God. They were doing it the best they had. And when they come and made an ascent to come worship, they didn't do it haphazardly and differently. They done it with a great respect and awe. They put God in His proper place. God is to be respected and awed for who He is. He's creator of the universe. And when they saw it, now there's two different aspects. They saw a queen, the queen of Sheba saw God in the right light until she had no more spirit in her. It affected her. What an awesome thing. She had to have said and give glory to God. That this God that they serve is an awesome God. Is a mighty God. He's worthy of that. For in all that she had ever seen, she said, the half has not been told. All that I ever heard about Him and heard of the wisdom that He had, of all that I ever heard of the ascent, of all that I ever heard of the peace and tranquility of the servants around Him. She was amazed at how well they eat. The servants eat better than they did in her. They eat like kings. They were dressed like kings. The servants were well took care of. The whole house was magnificently done. And it gave an honor and glory to God that God was in the midst of them. You know, that's the way God does us. When we put Him first, God's got to be first in our lives. It's where He belongs. It's His proper place. The Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. For He knows that we have need of these things. He knows we have need of clothing. And He's spoken of that and said in Solomon in all of his beauty. And all that He done there, He never matched the lily. How beautiful it was. And it didn't do all these things, Jesus said. Oh, there's a priority about this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Our duty in life is to glorify God. To lift up our Creator as He's still God. Much more so, I believe, in a world that's running Him down. In a world that's trying to get rid of Him. In a world that don't want to accept Him as God. Trying to do away with even the mention of God. Trying to do away with everything that had to do with God. Already mentioned it. Don't like nativity scenes. That's harmless. Why do they hate it? Trying to do away with the Ten Commandments and why? They hate those things. Want to do away with the very mention of God. Took prayer out of school. I know why the devil did that. When I was in school as a young boy, it was natural to look up to your teachers. You know why I looked up to my teachers? Because they had the answers and I didn't. That's why. They knew what the right answer was. I didn't know what the right answer was. You automatically look up to somebody like that. Teachers was to be respected. And you know, those teachers that would mention God would instill into a child that there must be something to it. Because that was Mrs. Hines. I had a teacher named Mrs. Hines. I remember Mrs. Hines. See, Mrs. Hines, if she would say there was God, must be something to it because she's smart. She's the teacher. I know why the devil wants all that erased until there's not the mention of it. It's because if we can get a hold of that, you can create children that don't put God first or don't think of God. They think there's no morality. That's why we have a culture that wants to go around shooting everybody. That's why we have the culture that we do. Because it's been a godless culture. What we need is a godly culture. We need to put God first and put Him back in His proper place as God. As healer, helper, encourager. He's my lawyer. He's my defender. He's my high tower. He's my rock. He's my defense. He's a bulwark and a shelter. He's God. He's our God. He's creator. of everything. You don't know how something works? It's okay. God knows how it works. Yes. And it's trying to be erased in our society. Lord, help us. The greatest witness that you and I can have is to put God first. And then it's suggestive of everything else. You don't put God first in your life, all your words are shallow. They are. They're shallow. If you don't put God first, they're all shallow. It means nothing to say it. If you don't do it, to do it, to put God first means I have a faith in God, and that faith comes out in places. He is alive. He is on His throne. And because He is, I respond and act. Every one of us that claim the name of Jesus has to have something different in our life than what it would be if we didn't believe. What's different? I must have something different in my life because I believe. It makes me to do things different. I change the way I do things because He lives and because I put Him first. I told the Lord years ago. I actually told Him, if you'll save me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. It was a bargain. You save me and I'll do whatever you want me to do. Endeavor to do that. Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. But I need to know, Lord. I need to know what you want me to do and where you want me to go. I need to know from you what you want me to do, and I'll be willing to do it. I told the Lord years ago, Lord, as much as possible, as when they open the doors, I'll be there in service. Yes. I told the Lord that in a minute, and I've done it. I'm going to tell you something. I've not always felt like it, but I've always been blessed. Yes. There's been times that I felt just exactly the opposite. I didn't feel like going. And you know what I done? I went. You'll say, well, if you don't feel like it, it don't mean nothing. Yes, it does. I'll tell you what I've done. I've prayed, Lord, give me a desire to do it. Give me a desire. Lead me by a desire. Give me a desire to do what you'd have me to do. But when the desire fails, I fall back on a commitment. I told the Lord I'd do it, and I'll do it. And I found out that some of the most blessed times I've had in services has been when the commitment kicked in, when the desire wasn't there. And I got there, and it was such a blessed service that the desire came back. I've always backed the desire with a commitment. Amen. The Lord saved me. He done His part. And Lord, I'm going to live for You. Put the Lord first in your life. There was another scripture. I'm going to turn to it. I just want to mention it. There was a man in the Bible that said that his fields brought forth plenteous. But it said he was a rich man. Now, a rich man, by definition, is that he has more than he needs. All right? And his field brought forth plenty. More than enough. Had abundance of crops. So, in the man, in the consideration of what would you do, his barns wouldn't hold all the increase that he had. So, in just this man's consideration of things, he says, I know what I'll do. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. Well, excuse me, to be honest with you, if you had too much to go in the little barns, you probably would want bigger barns. Either that or go so far to give some of it up or give it to the poor. But I don't really think bigger barns was a bad idea. Store it in there. The Lord gives increase. Need to do something with it. But the man went on. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, you have much laid up for many years. Take your ease. You can be comfortable now. You got more than enough. And the Lord came by that night and said, thou fool. One of the old ministers used to say, when the Lord calls you a fool, you're a fool. The man was a fool. Simply because he didn't prioritize his life. All the blessings that had come into his life of being well-to-do. Do you know that the scripture says of the rich and poor that I made them both, saith the Lord? Do you know the Lord puts people in the stations of their life according to His own word? And the Lord blessed a man to be rich and with the expectation that someday he's going to give an account on it. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but those that would be rich ought to consider this. You're going to have to tell the Lord what you've done with your riches. It's a place of responsibility. Do you know that all of our government officials, from the president all the way down to the local, your local board, is going to have to tell God what they did with the authority that they was given, because God said that all the authority came from Him. All the authority that is comes from God. So they're going to have to give an account for what they do, for the laws that they make, for the burdens that they burden people with, all of those things. You know, the rich man's going to have to tell the Lord what he done with what God gave him in his riches. Whether he hoarded it up, whether he gave it graciously, or however he done with it. If he bought evil devices and evil things with that, he's going to have to tell the Lord what he done with God's things. It's not a trivial matter. But what's more important in your life? Many years ago, I was in a battle. A very severe battle in my mind. And you know most all of them is. Right here, between my two fingers, is where it's all at. I battle right here. And I was in a battle. Things was looking awful dark in my world, around me. Things seemed like they was falling apart. The life that I, it wasn't but a year, less than a year before that, I remember sitting and saying, it don't get no better than this. Things were just, this is wonderful. And in that short period of time, things had changed completely around, and all of future looked dark to me. Pulled into our local Quick Stop. Big banner. Powerball. $10 million. You know, there was this thought came into my mind. Boy, if you had $10 million. And I quickly said, devil, I couldn't buy, that wouldn't buy me out of this, no way. It wouldn't, $10 million wouldn't change one thing about my life, because what was happening can't be bought. What I needed couldn't be bought. I needed grace. And I needed help. And I needed God to do something in my life, and money couldn't buy it. We look at it and think, oh, that'll change a lot of things in my life. It'll make me more responsible to the Lord, is all it'll do. What is your treasure tonight? What's your dearest treasure? A man named William Law, I believe was his name, wrote a book a couple hundred years ago. And he made a statement in the book, and he said, what you think about when you don't have to think about anything is what you want to think about. I'll say that again. When you're at work, the work will dictate what you think about. When you're busy with things, obviously you've got to think about it to do it. But when you stop, he said, and sat down, and now you have the freedom to think about anything you want to, he said, you mark this as a gauge that your affections will soon tell where your mind will soon tell where your affections at. When you start thinking, what you start thinking about is where your passion's really at. I challenge you with that thought. If when you can think about anything you want to and you stop for a moment, and the further you say, oh, okay, I relaxing and think, oh, my interest rate, my interest is getting this much, and my money's bringing in this much, and this much money's going to be coming in, and you start and you get that all in order, and you find that as a pattern of your life. That's where your affections is at. And when you stop and you say, oh boy, I got this new tackle, and I got this new boat, and boy, I just got it all right, and season's about here, and we're going to start fishing, and you start thinking, that's where your affections at. And when you can think about anything that you want to, and your mind starts meditating upon the things of God, when you start really thinking about, oh Lord, you've been so good to me, And oh, I think about the things that God's been doing in my life and Lord, the direction of my life and that kind of thing. That's where your affection's at. The scripture tells us to put our treasures in heaven. Because down here, they thieves. They want to break through and steal it. And then what do we do? We got to defend it. And then there's the natural decay of things around us in life where moth and rust cropped and trying to hang on to it and those things. And the Lord simply said, put your treasures in heaven. Get your mind up. Treasures in heaven. Oh, to reach out and help somebody in need. Or to pray. Or to put those thoughts and that energy into things of above. Folks, there's a great benefit to those things. Lord, help us today. There was a story I read about John Wesley. John Wesley was the old founder of the Methodist. He was quite a man back, a preacher back in the 1700s. And he read where he went with a friend. And the friend was a great landowner. And they got on their horses and they rode. All just after daylight. And they rode all day long looking at his properties. And he was showing him this and showing him that. At the end of the day, they was up on a rise as the sun was setting. And the man turned to John Wesley and said, well, what do you think of all that? And John Wesley said, it'll sure be hard to give up. Sure be hard to let loose of. That land is not going to do you any good, brother. One of these days, you're going to lay it down. You're going to lay it down with everything you've ever made. You're going to lay it down with everything you've ever had. You're going to lay it down with all the things that's ever went before it. You're going to lay it down with your ambitions. You're going to lay it down with your desires. You're going to lay that land down with your youth. You're going to lay it all down one of these days. There is a song in our book, Eternity. And the poet got a hold of something where he said about the crashing of the ages, where time and eternity meet. I've thought about that so many times. The picture that that man tried to paint in that song. The crashing of the ages. Where time and eternity meet. It's as if something going fast. Think of a speed of time. Coming to a sudden halt. That is as it hits eternity. It's this man wrote it. In the crashing of all that ever was. All of time, all that ever went before it, all of the great men and the bad, all the famous and the infamous, all the things that has ever come, all the political ideas, all of the great movements, socialism, democracy, all of the thoughts that has ever been in the world, all of that ideas of man, the creation of man, all the art, all the thing, all of it crashes. Comes pounding in one on another. It all comes down to judgment. A great final judgment as time hits and meets eternity. Think about it. Great men and small. There's been people that's not ever been known. And there's been some that are. Abraham Lincoln. George Washington. All Aristotle. All those great thinkers that they're supposed to be. Caesar. Nero, all of those men that goes, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, all of those and their ideas and all of it crashes into eternity. All of my life, Marty Clevenger, born July 19, 1962, to Dorland and Carol Clevenger, Webster County Memorial Hospital. From that day, all the way through, one day, everything that ever was done crashes into eternity. Wow. And I might have to give an answer to God. You know what makes me want to do? Makes me want to prioritize my life. to think that everything done in secret will be made open. Everything that's ever been done is going to be open. Open for eternity. Forever open. All my thoughts, all that open forever before God. Makes me want to prioritize. Makes me want to get it all right. Makes me want to take advantage of the scripture where the Lord said of my sins that He had cast it into the sea of forgetfulness and never remember it again. As far as the east is from the west is how far. Prioritize. What's important? My eternal soul is important. Everything else is a fable. It's a facade. It's a part of a time world that dissolves away. It's a part of something that'll burn. What is that saying Brother Carl has about at the end of every man's God? At the end of every man's God, no facades left. No pretension. No, I'm great and you're little. No, I'm up here and you're downhill. It's easy for the rich to look down on the poor. It's easy for the poor to despise the rich. But what does it matter? In a few short years, we all clock out. Forever. Without end. Forever. Without end. Makes me want to prioritize. Makes me want to think about when things come up that I look at and cross my eyes at. And I say, it don't matter. Eternity's coming. Somebody comes up and does me wrong. It don't matter. Eternity's coming. This thing's about to crash. It don't matter. I don't want with the baggage on me. It don't matter now. Oh, I was in surveying. You'd be surprised. You would be surprised how many people fight over this much. That much. Big fights start over this much land. Just a little bit of a line gets so up in arms about it. Our instructor, the college instructor, he said, I didn't go to college. I went to college courses in surveying. He said, there's a West Virginia state law. He showed it to us. This law states that a surveyor cannot trespass in the duty of his job. And he showed us all the paper, showed us the section, article, everything. Y'all, every one of you need to get this and put it in your wallet. You cannot be charged with trespassing in the process of your job. But he said it won't stop bullets. Remember that. If somebody wants to shoot you over it, you'll be shot regardless of the law. And there's people that would do it. We've had guns pulled on us. One of my buddies had a guy with a shotgun follow him all the way around the property. Folks, you don't live here long enough for that. All of that is going to come to an abrupt end one of these days. I want us to get the seriousness of it. It's my burden tonight, folks. It don't matter. Live for God with all your heart. And He'll defend all those places that need defended. You'll be fed and you'll be taken care of. But don't lose your soul over a picture, over a portrait, over an antique vase. Don't lose your soul over a foot of land. Don't lose your soul over a scratch on your vehicle. Don't lose your soul over a word spoken in haste. Prioritize. Prioritize. My soul is more important than all that. When things prosper, thank God. When they go down, thank God. God gives and God takes away. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.